Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, Georgia universities could see a reduction in state funding for online classes. The GBI makes an arrest in a cold case, and state transportation officials say major construction is now underway on Georgia's largest ever road project.
We're not taking away any lanes that exist now, so those lanes will remain free and accessible to the public. This is managed lanes to help us provide more reliable trip times.
Today is Tuesday, March 31st. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. The Senate version of Georgia's fiscal year 2027 budget reduces funding for online learning at University System of Georgia schools. The Senate's chief budget writer, Vidalia Republican Blake Tillery, says the new funding formula requires 10% more hours of online classes to earn the same funding as an in-person class. He says online learning should cost colleges less. University of North Georgia professor Matthew Bodie says the cut could harm online learning and oversimplifies the cost incurred by universities.
Certainly, if every university were fully online, yes, that would cost less, but that's not what we do here in Georgia. So I do not buy the argument that teaching online costs less, and I think the justification for that cut then is baseless.
The House and Senate are still negotiating the final version of the budget. State transportation officials say major construction now is underway on Georgia's largest ever road project. GPB's Orlando Montoya reports.
Lane closures began this week on Georgia 400, north of Atlanta, where officials are betting that 16 miles of tolled express lanes will ease congestion. Georgia Department of Transportation spokesman Kyle Collins says roadwork is expected to take 5 years.
We're not taking away any lanes that exist now, so those lanes will remain free and accessible to the public. This is managed lanes to help us provide more reliable trip times and also build out a transit network through bus rapid transit, which MARTA has committed to expanding.
The $4.6 billion project is the nation's largest public-private partnership of its kind, with significant federal, state, and private investment. For GPB News, I'm Orlando Montoya.
A proposal in Georgia could allow DNA to be collected from immigrants taken into custody for minor offenses. The bill, awaiting a final vote in the state legislature, would make Georgia the third state to single out immigrants believed to be in the U.S. illegally for the collection of genetic materials that wouldn't be taken from others. Supporters say DNA helps solve crimes, but critics say the legislation could create a two-tier system based on perceived immigration status. Legal experts question whether federal immigration detainers meet Fourth Amendment standards for DNA searches. The GBI has arrested and charged a man with the 1984 rape and murder of 22-year-old Sandra K. Davis. 68-year-old Freddie Lee Granger Jr. of Ware County has been charged with one count of rape, one count of aggravated assault, one count of malice murder, and two counts of felony murder. The results of continued DNA testing linked Granger to the crime. The Waycross Police Department discovered Davis's body in September of 1984. Through the years, the GBI and the Waycross Police Department remain committed to finding the truth behind Davis's death. Granger was taken into custody today and booked into the Ware County Jail. Tyson Foods plans to close its production facility in Northwest Georgia's Rome, saying continued operations at the site are, quote, no longer viable. The plant produces Nature Valley granola bars. In a statement to GPB today, the company did not reveal how many workers would be affected or the date of the closure. Transportation company Parsec is laying off 179 employees as it closes its facility in Austell, west of Atlanta. The company says the layoffs are due to the loss of one customer's business. The job losses include 139 union jobs. Most of the job losses are drivers and helpers.
There's a new season of the Fork in the Road podcast. Taste the flavors, hear the voices, and feel the soul of the Peach State. You can find it online at gpb.org/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sickle cell anemia is a crippling, painful, and debilitating disease that affects more than 15,000 Georgians, mostly African Americans. People who live with the disease or love people who do often say those with the power to make their lives easier don't understand what sickle cell is like. As GPB's Morgan Colbert reports, that's why advocates for better sickle cell treatment recently appealed to state lawmakers.
close to 100 people dressed in red and black are in a conference room in the state capitol. Organizing. That means figuring out which legislators they want to talk to and what part of their story they want legislators to hear. These are people the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia call Sickle Cell Warriors. They are here to push for the passage of Georgia House Bill 334, which addresses gaps in sickle cell anemia care. Nikisha Wall's 17-year-old son has been in the hospital many times because of sickle cell flare-ups.
If I hadn't been there with my son, it could have been... I could have lost him several times because they don't really check on him. His stats were dropping. No nurse came in for 4 hours. And I called his nurse. I said, I'm about to go to jail because they're about to kill my son. I said, if I got to put him in my truck and bring him to Children's, I will.
Sharing these raw emotional experiences with lawmakers is something that the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia's CEO, Dr. Tabitha McGee, believes is important.
We know that their stories are more frank, their stories are real, and their stories are tangible because it's their life that they live day to day.
One thing people with sickle cell say is a day-to-day fact is that their pain is not likely to be treated or even acknowledged. According to a study by the American Society of Hematology, only 1 in 3 sickle cell patients experiencing pain got appropriate medication within the first hour after seeking care. Sarita Sinia says that's one reason why she fights for her son's care whenever he needs treatment.
It's hard enough watching them go through this, and then to have to struggle with trying to get them to be heard.
Studies show that whatever the underlying cause, Black patients' pain goes untreated more often than white patients. So knowing the existence of medical bias and healthcare discrimination, Sunil worries what will happen when her son grows up.
Going from, this is the scary part for me, transitioning from a child where they can't stop me from advocating for him to an adult.
If passed, House Bill 334 would allow real-life input from people with sickle cell and their caregivers to influence the Georgia Department of Community Health's annual review of sickle cell medications and treatments covered by Medicaid. Representative Omari Crawford, a sponsor for the bill, believes it is the first step in addressing sickle cell-related inequities of care.
Would allow input from warriors, experts, medical staff, and service people to discuss what better treatments may be possible as medications and treatments evolve. We want to be able to better collect data, and if we can better collect data, then we can better address this awful disease.
House Bill 334 passed the Georgia House and has been read by the relevant Senate committee. It has until April 2nd to be approved. For GPB News, I'm Morgan Colbert at the Capitol.
The State Department of Agriculture is asking Georgians to help them detect yellow-legged hornet nests. The yellow-legged hornet was first spotted in Georgia in August 2023. They pose a threat to honeybees and other pollinators. The Department of Ag says early reporting of nests is critical to the state's efforts to eradicate the invasive pest. They ask, if you see a nest, contact the department's plant protection team, especially if you're in Bryan, Bullock, Chatham, Effingham, Liberty, and Screven counties. The Atlanta Beltline plans to formally open a newly paved segment of its Southside Trail in just a few weeks. Segments 4 and 5 of the Southside Trail will formally open on April 16th. Pedestrians already have been using the trail. The opening of this new Beltline trail expands connectivity to the Glenwood Park, Grant Park, Ormwood Park, and Boulevard Heights neighborhoods. The 22-mile pedestrian and bike path circling the city is scheduled to be complete by the end of 2030. The Atlanta Braves faced the Athletics at home tonight after winning the first game of the series last night 4-0. Bryce Elder gave up 5 hits over 6 innings and struck out 5. He also picked off a runner at first base for the first time in his career. The Braves scored 3 runs in the first inning. Getting ahead of opponents early is part of the team's strategy, says Braves manager Walt Weiss.
We've talked about really trying to get to the 5th or 6th with a lead, really going after the starters, and even, you know, you talk about my lineup construction being built that way to go after the starter. It just changes the game when you can get to the 5th or 6th with a lead.
Jose Suarez will get the start for Atlanta tonight. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, visit gpb.org/news. And remember to subscribe to this podcast because we'll be back in your feed tomorrow afternoon. And your feedback, of course, is welcome. We love to hear from you. Send us your feedback or your story ideas. The email address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.